The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks and we give you praise for the freedom that we have in Christ, being set free from all our sin. We are so thankful that we have not heard the words that were spoken to your people, Israel, on that day, that your sins will not be atoned for. But instead, we hear the words of the new covenant, "I will remember your sins no more." Because of that, our sins are not counted against us, and they were counted against your Son. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have the hope of heaven. We thank you that we will see you someday soon, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, where we will see you face to face, and we will be satisfied, and we will be at peace and rest. We will see the God for whom we were made, and our souls will never again be dissatisfied. We thank you for that, Lord. Make us a grateful people. Make us a people that gives you praise and has a heart of joy and gratitude. And as a result, to live in accordance with your law and with your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at question 135 for catechism. Really coming close to the end here. There's only 148 questions. We're at 135. Now, if you remember, it's split up into three parts. The first part is of our sin and misery, how we have violated God's law, we deserve His wrath and condemnation, how we are slaves of sin. But the good news, the second part, of man's redemption, that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for all our sins, that God the Father sent His Son to accomplish our redemption in full and has been applied by the Holy Spirit. And as a result, the third part, of man's thankfulness. How are we to show our gratitude for what God has done? How can we not but show our gratitude out of love for our Master for what He has done? And there's two ways given according to the Catechism, and that is that we keep God's law, we keep His commandments, even though we won't do so perfectly. We make but small beginnings in this life, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace that we have in Christ, we strive to walk in obedience to His commandments. That is how we show our gratitude. And then also prayer. Prayer is a chief way of expressing our gratitude and speaking to God and giving Him our thanks and also depending upon Him. Using a definition of prayer, the breathing out of the soul towards God and the creature's way of acknowledging utter dependence upon His Creator, comes from Rich Barcelos. So breathing out of the soul, it's this communion, this deep communion with God, where we may not always be speaking audibly, but our soul is communing with God and depending upon Him, seeking grace from this channel called prayer, and also giving thanks to Him for what He has accomplished. And last week, we covered some important questions about prayer in question 134. Why is prayer necessary? We cover topics such as, if God is sovereign and has ordained whatsoever comes to pass, and nothing's going to change His plan, then why pray? And we saw that it's because God is a God who works through means. And even those means are a part of His sovereign plan. God prompting us to pray for things. And then God working through those means are all in line and underneath His sovereignty. And we aren't called to figure this out. We aren't called to figure out the plan. Well, I want to pray, but I don't know if it's part of the plan. How do I know if it's part of the plan? We aren't called to figure it out. We aren't called to figure out this mystery of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Rather, we are simply to call out to God in prayer. Not thinking, oh, well, is this part of His plan or not? We just call out to Him, knowing that He will hear us. And if God does not answer the prayer according to how we prayed it, we trust that that's because God sees the whole picture and sees it absolutely clearly, and we see but a puzzle piece. And blurrily, is that a word, blurrily? Blurry at best. If it is, I coined it. It's a new word now. So we see things blurrily, but God sees things clearly. And also, God uses difficult times to draw us close to Him. You know, during my most difficult times in life, I called out to God, and I had many requests, and God did not answer them. But I don't believe it to be a waste, because that was God drawing me close to Himself. And I drew close to God in ways that I would not have otherwise. And so God used those circumstances to do more in me and to draw me close to Himself and deepen my communion with Him. Now, with that said, God does oftentimes answer many of our prayers. And if we sat down and actually thought about it, you know, some people have prayer journals. They go back and like, wow, God's really answered a lot of prayer. And we should give Him thanks for that. And we also learn that prayer is not just God answering my request. Well, if He doesn't answer all my requests the way I think He should, then it's worthless. No, there's much more to prayer than just that. It's us giving thanks to God. And it's us receiving grace from Him by the Holy Spirit through this channel called prayers. We ask of Him. And this afternoon, we're looking at another important question regarding prayer. And it's question 135, which asks, what is required for our prayers to please God and be heard by Him? And that's an important question, because there's times when we pray and it seems like our prayers are hitting a glass ceiling. Why is He not answering? Or am I doing something wrong? Is it something in me? Am I in sin here? So what is required to make our prayers acceptable to God is an important question. And the answer that we ask of the only true God, who has manifested Himself in His Word, all things which He has commanded to be asked of Him. This is to be done with a true affection and desire of our heart, as well we are through an inward feeling of our need and misery, to cast ourselves prostrate in the presence of His divine majesty and build ourselves on the sure foundation that we, though unworthy, yet for Christ's sake, are certainly heard by God, even as He has promised us in His Word. You just leave that up there. So we're going to look at three aspects here of prayer based on the framing of our catechism here. And that is, first, the material of the prayer. Second, the manner. And third, the merit. So three aspects of prayer that make it pleasing to God. First, the material. What are we praying? Second, the manner in which we pray. And third, the merit. And that points us to our Lord Jesus Christ. So first, the material of the prayer. It says in our catechism here that we are to ask only of the only true God, who has manifested Himself in His Word, all things which He has commanded to be asked of Him. So that's what pleases Him, asking things that He has commanded us to ask Him. We read in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That brings up a question, doesn't it? A lot of life involves things like, should I move to this city? Should I take this job? Should I do this thing? Should I go to this school? Should I marry this person? So forth and so on. There's so many things that we can accumulate as far as questions we can ask. And so we should pray and go to God and ask Him. But if we prayed according to His will, how do we know that this was according to His will here? That God heard us, as 1 John 5:14 says. Well, what John is talking about is God's revealed will. That is, His will is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. So one such thing is we need to pray for wisdom. We have a situation, we don't know exactly what to do. We ask God for wisdom. We ask God to give us guidance, and God often directs us in His providence. Other things to pray for that are according to His will, things like our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. And so God calls us to pray for this. This is His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Here's His will: our sanctification, our growth in holiness, abstaining from things like sexual immorality. And so, oh Lord, would You sanctify me? Would You grow me? Would You keep me pure? Would You keep me away from immorality? Would You help me in my heart? Now, God may not answer our prayers on our timetable or in the way in which we think He will. And He's not going to zap us into perfection suddenly. And sometimes He even lets us fall to humble us so that we seek His grace all the more and come to appreciate our Savior all the more. Now, oftentimes, your prayer for sanctification and deliverance from sin is met with a great struggle against sin. There's a hymn that John Newton wrote. John Newton's the one who wrote Amazing Grace. There's another hymn of his that he wrote called I Ask the Lord That I Might Grow. And part of the song goes like this: I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. I hope that in some favored hour at once He'd answer my request and by His love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. And so what John Newton is saying here is I'm praying for this, praying for growth, and then it just seems like I get worse. Things get more difficult. And that's actually a common experience of believers. They pray for growth in faith, love towards God, a holiness, and it seems like the pathway there, suddenly the bottom opens up and you fall. Well, this is to show us the greatness of our sin and misery, to humble us so that we depend all the more on our Savior and the means of grace that He has established for us to receive grace. See, oftentimes we think we pray for this, then this is exactly what's going to happen. But God's path taking us there might be rather difficult. But it's for our growth. It's for our own good. And so when we pray according to God's will, we know that He hears us, even though He may not take us on the easiest path or answer immediately in the way we think He should. Other things we can pray for. We can pray for the unity of the church, the expansion of His kingdom, the gospel to continue to go forth in power, for God to give us opportunities to share the gospel. And we'll also see His will in the Lord's Prayer as we go through the petitions, as we continue to go on through this. But these are the revealed things that God has told us to pray for. But then there's the secret hidden things. Deuteronomy 29:29. The things revealed to us belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, but the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There's things that God has revealed to us, and then there's things that God has not revealed to us. And a lot of times God ends up directing us in His providence, even through counsel. Sometimes even through poor counsel, through bad decisions. I have a friend who was going to go in with somebody. This is years ago when this was first coming out. And I think it's Bitcoin. It's kind of like an electronic money. I don't understand it. But he was going to go in with a friend of his in investing in Bitcoin or something like that. And my friend decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I think he got some counsel against it. And this friend of his ended up making millions of dollars. And he's like, oh, was that a bad decision? Well, it's actually probably for his good, because now he depends upon God, continues to depend upon God daily. God has used financial hardship in his life to grow him. And there's something more precious than gold, isn't there? It's called our faith. So even through bad decisions or poor decisions or things don't turn out the way we had hoped, God is still at work and we can trust Him in that. So the material of our prayer, what we are to pray for, that makes it pleasing to God, is what God has revealed in His Word, His revealed will. A second aspect of prayer that makes it pleasing to God is the manner in which we pray. Our catechism says, this is to be done with a true affection and desire of our heart. As well, we are, through an inward feeling of our need and misery, to cast ourselves prostrate in the presence of His divine majesty. So this is the manner in which we approach God. We're approaching the God of the universe, the sovereign majesty on high. Yes, He is our Father, and we cherish that. We can draw near to Him in confidence as a child runs into the lap of her father. Yet He is the majesty on high. He is in heaven. And so we approach Him with reverence. We approach Him with humility. Psalm 145, 18. There's a couple of verses that our catechism gives us. I'm just going to go through, well, there's actually several, but there's a couple that I'm going to go through real briefly. One is Psalm 145, 18, which says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. What a glorious promise. The Lord is near. Oh, the Lord is near to us. And He's near to those who call on Him in truth. So what does it mean then to call on the Lord in truth? Well, a couple of things. First is we pray according to His truth. So we don't pray for things like, God, I want to be king of the world. Or, God, I name it and claim it. I want the best parking spot. I name and claim mansions and fancy cars. Things like that. That is not what God has called us to pray for. We're to pray according to God's word of truth. Second thing that this means, to call on God in truth, is to call on Him sincerely. Now, this does not mean that we're going to do this perfectly, with perfect sincerity. It's if we're going to have, we have to call on Him without any sort of pride or sin remaining. That's impossible. What this means is not perfect sincerity, but a presence of sincerity. We aren't just going through the motions like in dead orthodoxy or giving vain repetitions like paganism. We're calling out on him truly. And, another verse, Isaiah 66:2. God says, but this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, who trembles at my word. So God says, the one to whom He will look, the one that He looks on with favor, whom He hears, one who is humble and contrite in spirit. Now again, it's not based on the quantity or quality of the contrition, just if it's present. And this is something produced by God, the Holy Spirit. This is what Zechariah 12:10 speaks of when it says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy. This is God's Spirit doing this. He's pouring out His Spirit that works in our heart a true contrition, contrition over sin. And this is why Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, literally spiritual beggars. What is a beggar? A beggar is someone who doesn't have anything, right? And knows he doesn't have anything. And so he is reduced to look into the generous giving of others outside of himself alone. And this is the way it is, Jesus says, to those whom He gives the kingdom. And that is those who are poor in spirit, who are spiritual beggars, those who know that they haven't earned it, those who know that they can't obtain it, those who know that they must rely fully on the free grace of Christ to give it. Like nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And Jesus goes on to say, blessed are those who mourn. And this is not mourning in general, because we're all going to mourn at some point in our life, but those who mourn over their sin and misery. And also God's children who mourn because of life circumstances, have been sinned against. Yes, they do mourn over their sin, but God also cares for the difficulties that they go through. And they're mourning, and they have deep sorrow. But the Lord says, you will be comforted. We look to Him in prayer. Oh, Lord, going through this difficult time, and I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what solution to pray for. But Lord, I'm going through a really difficult time, and I'm just casting myself on you. Oh, those are the ones whom the Lord comforts. Praise be to God for that. Nevertheless, we always are to come to Him with truth, sincerity, and humility. Now, it's not all the time that we come with a broken spirit, but we do come with humility. And we do recognize His greatness, rejoicing while trembling. However, we will never measure up to this perfectly, never get it quite right. And this brings us to the third aspect of prayer that makes it pleasing to God, the one without which He would never hear us. And that is merit. That is Christ's merits alone. Our catechism goes on to say, and build ourselves on the sure foundation that we, though unworthy, yet for Christ's sake are certainly heard by God, even as He has promised us in His Word. This is the one sure foundation that we rest upon. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation. While we are to pray in accordance with God's Word, with our true heart of faith, yet our righteousness will never add up. Our sincerity will never be enough. Our faith will never be strong enough. We need a righteousness, not of our own, in order to approach God. And this is why Daniel, in his prayer, says in Daniel 9:18, "For we do not present our pleas before you, O God, because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy." Why are we heard by God? Not because of our righteousness, but because He is merciful. And He is eager and ready to forgive, and He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And He has given us a mediator, and He has given us a righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness for us, whose righteousness is credited to us as a free gift, and who atoned for all our sins because of His shed blood, and has forever cleansed us and covered us. And so we approach God, not based on our righteousness, but His righteousness. Not on our merits, but His merits. Not in our name, but His name. And praise be to God that He always hears us in Christ's name. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to You not because of our righteousness, but because of the merits and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, which You have given to us in Your mercy. We're so thankful that we can come to You with boldness and confidence, and we don't have to worry about how sincere we're being, even though we want to grow in our sincerity, we want to grow in our contrition, and we want to grow in our love for You, but yet we know that that is not ultimately the reason we are heard. We are heard because of Christ and for Christ's sake. So we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Christ. We thank You for a mediator. We thank You for an advocate. We thank You for a high priest who always lives to make intercession for us. And that we come not to a throne of judgment, but a throne of grace, to receive grace and mercy in our time of need in a timely way. And so, Lord, we come to You and we ask, according to Your will, that You would sanctify us, that You would transform us more and more, that You would create in us more and more a spirit that pleases You. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.